Today we're looking at peace in our hearts, and we want to look at what the scripture says about peace in our hearts. And I love the Bible, the living Bible, that it has everything we need for everything we're going through. And as I sit down and I usually do my studies, you know, I start off by usually just listing off all the scriptures, and I start looking for the path, the message that God wants to articulate. And I came across like three verses that were like vital. And I'm like, how do I pick one to put up there? And then as I read them, I had them at the top of my notes. I kind of read them as one. And I'm like, that is, I think, God's message on peace. And so it kind of takes this thread throughout the Bible. And I'm kind of mashing them into one verse. And we'll read it as one because I think it's a thought of God that he wants to present to us. But then we'll kind of dig into each one of the scriptures as we go through it. So I'll be reading here in Proverbs 4:23. In Philippians 4:7 and John 14:7. We'll read them all as one here this morning. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. For Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, as always. And I pray, Lord, you reveal to us your scriptures this morning. Lord, I pray that your message is spoken clearly into our ears, Lord, that we can understand. And I believe, Lord, there is a great need for peace in our hearts, peace in this world. And I pray, Lord, that we can learn through your word today what that is. So Lord, speak your thoughts into our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's dig into this. Let's look at this thread of peace in our hearts in the scripture. And again, we start off with Proverbs 4:23, guard your hearts above all else. It determines the course of your life. And in there, we can see some elements. Number one, guard. There is an action. There's something we need to do. And it says above all else. Above all else, I would say that means it's pretty important. As maybe the most important thing we need to be doing, actively doing, is guarding and protecting our hearts. And because it determines the course of your life. And I think we can kind of deduce from that, it kind of means, I think if we do protect or guard our hearts, that the course of our life should be good. And actually, the Hebrew for course of your life, in the Hebrew language, it refers to green or vegetation, flowing river, active, reviving. I believe if we guard our hearts, actively guard our hearts, that we should have a flourishing life. We should have a growing life. So these are the things that we need to begin with. This is the starting thought of guarding and protecting our hearts out of Proverbs 4:23. So let's dig in and let's look at the guarding. Again, as I shared last week, as we looked at peace, many Hebrew words in the Old Testament, the word itself paints a picture. It should have an image in your mind when you see a specific word. And so we have this word guard, and in the Hebrew, it means a watchman in his tower or on the tower. It's a watchman walking on a wall. That's the picture that we should have. So we have a guard. If he's protecting the heart, he's walking on the wall. And what's a wall? Well, that's what we discussed last week as we introduced this series, is peace is a wall. When they see the word peace, they see a dividing wall. To have peace requires a bit of a separation. We think, and Jesus even asks in Luke 12, you think I came to bring peace? No, I came to bring division. And it's a hard concept to understand. But this word of peace is a wall. And if we are to have peace in our heart, we need to have some form of wall, some separation. We need to build this wall upon, I believe, Jesus Christ. But we also need to be watchmen on our wall, watchmen over our hearts. We need to be guarding and protecting our hearts. And that's an active thing. Are you actively protecting your heart? As you get up in the morning, are you thinking about your heart and the sensitivity of your heart? And are you doing things to protect it, to keep it safe? Because we need to be watchmen of our hearts. Let me give you some examples. What do you watch? What are you allowing through your eyes that gets into your heart? You want me to swap? I think I'm hearing that static thing. I don't know if I'm... You just let me know. You stand over there and wave, you know, if it's bothering you, I'll change it, sort of thing. Sorry, a little conversation with Jeff. What are you watching? What do you allow into your heart? And as LeVar Burton would say, don't take my word for it, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, says, your eye is a lamp that provides light to your body. It's a wall of separation. It's something that allows things in. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Your eyes are a wall, and we need to allow light into us. And that makes us healthy, makes our eyes healthy, makes us healthy. But we can allow darkness in. So what are you doing? What are you presenting before your eyes? What are you looking at? And how does that affect you? For a couple of years now, I've decided to not watch football. Actually, baseball and basketball. And, you know, so I haven't seen, I'm aware of how bad my Vikings are. But let me tell you, I think I feel a little better because I'm not allowing that in. There are things, David says, and I think Psalms 100, I put no evil thing before my eyes. What things are you allowing into your eyes that get into your heart? Are there some things that you need to close your eyes to, that you need to shut out? Because it gets in and it affects you. Our eyes can be a wall that we need to create some sort of separation. How about your ears? What are you listening to? What are you hearing? As we went through the Selah series, talking about the importance of praise and worship or stringed instruments, just being in an atmosphere of worship, allowing to hear praises of God, it can bring a change into your heart. But what sort of music do you listen to? Is it uplifting? Is it encouraging? Or is it kind of tearing things down? Or conversations, people you talk to, the things that they say, what are you allowing into your ears? Are you protecting the things you hear? Are your kids' ears protected within your house by what they have to hear? I've had conversations with friends, family, in the church, and sometimes people present to me information that they think is important. And on many occasions, if someone is kind of giving me information, I'll stop and say, that's all right, I don't need to know that. Because I know my heart, and God's revealed my heart. Sometimes people think that they're sharing something fruitful, but I know after it goes into my ears and gets in my heart, it's not fruitful. It actually has the opposite effect. Do you protect what you hear? Are you guarding your heart by putting up a wall with your ears for what you hear? How about, what are you doing? What does a guard do? You know, he's got that rifle and he's kicking high as he's walking along the wall. He's being active. Is he taking a nap? Is he playing video games? Is he reading a book? He's being active. There are things that he does. He probably has a timeline or a route that he takes as he's on the wall, and there's different places he's looking and he's probably communicating. He's very active. Are you active in protecting your heart? What are some active things that you should be doing? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you praying? When was the last time you fasted? Fasting and prayer. Are you talking with God? Two-way conversation. He talks, you talk. He listens, you listen. Are you having that sort of relationship with God? Are you giving? It's something of our heart that we need to give. Are you worshiping? Are you serving? You see, if you are actively guarding your heart, there are things that you should be doing that protect. You need to be on alert. But far too often, we just kind of go through life and not really care. A soldier on a watchtower is disciplined, and he actively protects the peace. And as I was digging into this, it kept on coming to my heart. I kept on thinking about dads. Dads, we need to actively protect our heart, but we also need to be active in protecting the hearts of our family. Is your heart in the right place, fathers and grandfathers? Are you guarding your heart and not allowing things into your heart? And then do you stand at the front door of your house and build a wall of separation of peace and not allow things into your house? Are you building a wall around your wife? Are you guarding and protecting her and her heart? Are you guarding and protecting your children? Because their eyes and their ears are taking in things into their hearts. And some of it we can't see. It's damaging. We need to be active as fathers and as mothers and as grandparents. Protect our hearts. So we got to be active, as Proverbs 4:23 puts out. There's things that we need to do above all else to protect this heart. But what else is there to know? Well, then we read into Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace. You see, there's a difference. Which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, as I mash this together, we went Proverbs 4:23 right into this, and it starts with then. Well, the then isn't referring to Proverbs 4:23. It's referring to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And in that verse, it says, don't worry. So how do we have peace? Don't worry about it, right? How encouraging is that? You know, whenever you're going through someone and someone says to you, oh, just don't worry about it. It never works, does it? But we're not supposed to worry. There are some things we need to do to experience God's peace. So I want God's peace. You know, if I'm doing the Proverbs 4:23, if I'm doing my own active things to build up a wall of protection to guard my heart, I've got an okay wall. And that's the peace that I've built. But I want God's peace. I want a peace that is beyond my understanding. I want a peace on steroids. I want a wall of peace. I want a wall of separation that is 100 feet thick with cannons and howitzers and tanks behind it. That's what I want, right? And to get that, I can't build that. Only God can give me that peace which is beyond understanding. So how do I get God's peace? I know what I can do. I can have some spiritual disciplines to try to create peace in my heart. But how do I get God's heart? Well, one thing you can do is read the rest of Philippians chapter 4, the beginning half, those first 6 verses in the chapter. And Paul brings out some things before he gets to this verse. And he says, well, one thing you can do is help others. To get this peace beyond your understanding, help others. And he actually brings up a story of 2 ladies in the church that are fighting. And he says, help them. Help create peace. We need to help other people. Sometimes in our act, being active, we can't just shield ourselves from all relationships. No, we need to be able to go out and help other people. He also says to be full of joy in Philippians 4. Full of joy. It's amazing how peace and joy, I think, should go hand in hand. You should feel these things in your heart and your lives. And many times we go, well, yeah, I'm not too joyful right now because this is happening and that's happening and this other thing's going on. You know, if I can figure these out, then I'd have some joy. That's not how joy works. It's actually the other way around. We pursue God and our relationship with Christ, and it should bring joy into our hearts. And then we can deal with the things. So we need to be full of joy. We need to be considerate of others. Again, other encouragements at the beginning of Philippians 4. Don't worry, as we said. We need to pray. We need to be thankful. How do we get God's peace? Boy, I think if it starts with thanksgiving in our heart, I think that opens our heart to God's peace. And His peace, as we read in Philippians 4:7, can guard our hearts. That's what we want. We want peace in our hearts. We want His peace guarding our hearts. If I'm walking on this wall, I want someone there with me, to have another soldier, to have Jesus, to have His peace looking over my heart. So how can I have His peace in our hearts? How can I have Him looking over my heart, Him in the watchtower? Well, it says at the end of our Philippians 4:7, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. We need to live. I live in my house. I go there regularly. My neighbors know me there. My family sees me there. That's where my stuff is. It's where my heart is. Are you living in Christ Jesus? Is that where your residence is? You always go to Jesus. We need to live in Christ Jesus. How do we do that? Well, in the morning, you wake up and you pour yourself a bowl of Cheerios. And you live in Christ Jesus. How can we live as we're having breakfast? I'm going to challenge. We got a couple of our art kids here. Genevieve. Do you guys remember a scripture verse out of 1 Corinthians 10:31? For whatever you... So for whether you... Sorry, I started you off wrong. She's saying it there. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. I give kids candy. That's what we do when we remember things like that. Well done. In ARC, we memorize scripture. Whatever you're doing, if you're eating, give glory to God. If you're drinking something, give glory to God. That's living in God. We should be doing that regularly. I also give her candy, you know, because, you know, you get praised for doing something good. That's why I eat a whole bag of candy myself when the sermon's over, because, you know, got to encourage myself. But I'll do it for the glory of God, because that's what Scripture says. Whatever you do, give glory to God. You can be eating a bowl of cereal, thanking God. That's living in Christ Jesus. When you're living in Him, things change. What else can we do? When we're talking with friends, when you're having conversations with friends, you know how you've got some people you have conversations with. It's amazing how they can steer the conversation to whatever subject they want to talk about. Can't we do that with Christ? As a friend or family is talking with you, can't we encourage them by pointing them to Christ in conversations? Because we're thinking about Christ. We are living in Christ. How about your downtime, if you have any downtime? Can you live in Christ Jesus in your downtime? I like video games. Yeah, I know, big kid. Yeah, but I don't put them on my phone because I don't want that distraction as I'm out and about. But I've got a tablet at home, and I've got a chair. It's my chair. My family knows this. If my sons are sitting there, I'll just walk up to the chair and stare at them. And it's amazing. They get up and they get out of the chair, and I get to have them sit in my chair. But I sit there and I'm on my tablet. I do a lot of reading on my tablet, and I've got some mindless games. Do you have any mindless games on your phone? You know, and it's just kind of a chance to unplug. But when I'm doing a mindless game right now, I'm creating a train universe. It's a train tycoon. Yeah, great, awesome game. But it's a moment for me to be able to unplug from reality, but I'm not completely unplugged. Because as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about the message. I'm praying. I'm having a conversation with God. Even in my downtime. When you guys had deer hunting a couple of weeks ago. Do you have any conversation with God as you're out there with your downtime? When you have your free time, can you live in Christ Jesus? Are there things you can do to invite Him into your life? That's living with Christ. That's allowing Him to be a part of everything you do, even with your downtime. How about at work? Do you live in Christ Jesus at work? Do you invite Him into your work, into your workplace? Do you think about Him all the time? And you might think, well, that's kind of impossible. No, it's not. Remember when you first fell in love? How often did you think about him or her? All the time. All the time. You had that in your mind. And that's what we should have wherever we're at. If we're at work, if we're at school, we're living in Christ. We're always thinking about Him. That is living in Christ Jesus. Are you living in Him? And I think that when you live in Christ Jesus, you live that abundant life. front of your bulletin, our first page, our mission statement here at Grace Community Church: training to serve, serving to love, loving to live. I want you to live the abundant life. That's out of John 10:10. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I want you to live an abundant life. How do we get there? How do we experience that? That abundant life is living in Christ Jesus. It's inviting Him into everything that we do. So we need to have that abundant life. We need to have that element. We need to live in Christ in order to have this peace in our hearts. We need to have Jesus on the watchtower with us, guarding and protecting our hearts. And then when we do that, Jesus gives us this wonderful gift in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." It's a gift. "And the peace I give as a gift, the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." This is a promise. This is where God or Jesus says, "I promise, I'm going to give you my peace. And it's special to me. I'm the only one that can give it. When you live in me, I give you this peace in your hearts. Peace of mind, peace of heart." But His peace is different than the world's peace, because the world does have peace. The world has a concept out there of peace. And the world is trying to give it to you. And as we looked last week, as we went through this, Ezekiel brings this out, that the world's form of peace, the wall of peace that the world builds, is a whitewashed wall. It's fake. It looks nice, but it's run down. It's a flimsy wall, as we read in Ezekiel. You just sneeze on it, and it falls over. That's the world's peace. See, the world wants to present to you a peace. He wants to present to you, if you do this, you will have peace. And a lot of times when the world does it, we go, "Oh, that sounds pretty good." The world's peace that it gives you. You can have peace if you just accept everyone as they are. And our ears go, "Well, that sounds about right. That sounds good." But from the world, that's a lie. The truth of accepting others can only be done through Christ Jesus, through His lens. But the world says, "No, see, we'll have peace if we just accept everyone." Well, that's a flimsy wall. Can we? Sure, but only through Christ Jesus, because He's got to change me. He's got to adjust me in order for me to see as He sees. You guys are all children of God. I need to see it through His lens. The world can kind of say to us, this world will be a better place if we just don't criticize one another. Let's not tear down. Let's not bully one another. And your ears go, "Well, that sounds good. Yeah, I could go with that." But again, it's a deceptive peace. It's a lie. But can we not criticize one another? I think through the Bible's lens, through Christ Jesus, it's love one another. Love your enemies as your love your neighbors as yourself. Love your enemies. We need to see the concepts of peace through God's eyes, not the world's. The world's, they look really attainable, but they're flimsy. They're torn down. Or the other one that I love, the world, to bring peace into this world. If only we can unite around this cause, and this cause, and that cause, and this other cause. There's all sorts of causes in this world that the world wants us to get behind. And if we could all just unite over this concept, this cause, well, then everything will be just right. Everything will be perfect. I'm not sure about that. And I'm not too sure about the world and its causes, because they have endless causes. But if you go up to the world and say, "Hey, I have a cause we could get behind." "Yeah, let me hear about it. What is it?" "Jesus Christ." "Oh, no, no, no. Not that one. It's the only cause that the world rejects. Jesus Christ is the one and only way to the Father." "Oh, no, 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 that's not inclusive enough. That's not loving enough. That's not caring enough. That leaves people outside the wall if that's the only cause." The world wants to show you peace, but it's a flimsy wall. The only true peace comes through Christ Jesus. It's the only cause I want to get behind, and yet the world wants to reject. So how do you know what type of peace you're living in? Again, Proverbs 4:23, there are things we can do to guard our hearts and have peace. Are you living in your peace that you create? Are you living in the world's peace? These flimsy walls that you can be behind? Or are you living in God's peace? How do we know what sort of peace we're living in? Well, it's the end of this verse. So don't be troubled or afraid. Are you troubled or afraid right now? Are there things in your life that are turbulent, that are shaking you, that it's all you think about? Does it bring you fear and doubt and worry? Then the wall you've built is not quite within Christ. You need to be a little more active. You need to be a little more guarding, a little more protective. The word there for don't be troubled or afraid in Greek actually says not to be timid. When you have God's peace, you're not timid, you're bold. It's almost another level. Because if you have God's peace, it isn't just, but there's something that rises up within you. So you're standing on the wall that God has created of peace, and you look and the enemy is coming, and there's thousands upon thousands that are coming at you, and they're slinging finances at you, and they're slinging the relationships at you, and they're slinging your health, all these things. They're trying to tear down your wall with worry, doubts, and fears. And if you truly are in God's peace, you stand on that wall and you put your hands on your hip and you go, bring it. You're not going to succeed, because I am guarded by Jesus Christ. I have the peace of God that only comes through living in Jesus Christ. Is that the peace that you live in? That you don't worry, that you do not fear, you're not troubled. Are you bold with the relationship that you have, the peace that you have? We'll wrap this up in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This peace that God wants to give us is very unique. I believe there has been a cosmic battle going on for ages between God and Satan. And in my mind, the picture I see is a couple of characters playing a game of chess. And some pieces are on the side of the board, pieces that have been lost. And they're going along, and all of a sudden God leans back and says, "Satan, I got an idea. I wanna do something a little different here." He says, "Tell you what, I'm gonna take off my queen. I'm gonna take off, if you don't know chess, sorry. I'm gonna take off my rook. I'm going to take off my bishop. I'm going to remove these three pieces, and I'm going to put one piece back on the board." And he has this little piece of a little manger and a little baby. And he sets it on the board. He says, "I'm going to use this one." And Satan, with that evil laugh, just starts howling. "That's your peace? A baby? You think that's going to defeat my minions and my strongholds? A baby? A baby has no defense. It probably can't even move. It probably just sits there on the board. It's got no movements. How can he defeat?" "Sure, put that piece on there." God says, "I got you. Because this is the only undefeated piece on the board. A baby. If I want a faith, or if I want a peace that is beyond my understanding," which we read in Philippians 4, "if you want a peace that is beyond your understanding, then doesn't God give it to us in a way that is beyond our understanding?" And all of you are lacking understanding right now. What did you just say, Pastor? if I want an impenetrable wall of peace, and God wants to give it to me, something that no mind can comprehend, that nothing can defeat, if that's what God wants to give, isn't He going to do it in a way that doesn't make sense? I really could use some peace right now. Go read the Christmas story about this little baby. Yeah, how's that going to give me peace? I don't know. But it does. Because this is what God, He put all of His cards into one person, His Son, Jesus. That if we say, God, I need protection, I need You to guard my heart today. God says, let me send You a defender, a little baby. Yeah, but what good is a baby? I don't know about you, but I've been hearing a baby cooing and giggling back there in the corner. Is that bringing anyone joy? Is that bringing any peace? If my wife is ever going through anything difficult and you want to help encourage her, young mom, bring your child and just put her in my wife's arms. And she would just go, a baby can do that? Can bring peace in a heart? A peace that cannot be taken down? It doesn't make sense, and yet it makes all the sense in the world. That's what God wants to give you. And when you have Christ in your heart, and you're living in Christ Jesus, I'm in Him, He's in me, you stand there on that wall going, world, you can't throw anything at me. It's just going to fall off this wall. Are you guarding your heart? Are you being active in your relationship? Are you living in Christ Jesus with every scoop in your bowl of Cheerios or Crispix? Are you being active in your conversations? Are you guarding your eyes and your ears? This is above all else. This is the most important thing. Guard your heart by living in Christ Jesus and saying, God, I want Your baby Jesus to defend me and to shock the world beyond their comprehension that a Christ child can bring me peace. Let's pray. Again, Lord, I thank You for this word. I thank You for Your scripture. Lord, I think we are all looking for some peace in our hearts. Some of us, Lord, it's our minds as well. Lord, our thoughts are flooded with too many things. Lord, some of us are having a difficult time focusing, staying tuned, staying on track. It's as if our mind is broken. Lord, if there be any here this morning, I pray You bring a mending to their minds. And Lord, I don't believe it's simply just a snap of the finger, but Lord, it requires an active step on our part, which is to relinquish the control to You. And Lord, some of us, our hearts are hard. Some of us, our hearts are bitter. Some of us, our hearts are broken. Some of our hearts are not healthy at all. And Lord, we are craving peace. And we are looking everywhere for peace. And the world seems all too ready to give us options to have peace in our hearts, in our lives, in our family, in our community. But Lord, those are cheap walls. It's cheap peace. Lord, I want Your peace that only comes by surrendering my life to Jesus Christ, Your Son. And Lord, that peace is only built up in my heart when I live in Christ Jesus. So Lord, help us to live in Jesus. Let us take steps or to be obedient to Christ. And Lord, I pray even right now you drop in our hearts those little cracks in our wall, those ways that the enemy is getting into our hearts, whether it's words or images or thoughts or relationships, or the enemy desires to get into the inside to destroy our hearts. But Lord, let us be active and let us put up walls and say, this will not be spoken again. This will not be heard in my house. This will not be seen again. And we're going to turn this off. Or whatever it is, show us where our weak points are and how to build up a wall to protect our hearts and minds. Finally, Lord, I thank you for this body, brothers and sisters, all trying to build a wall around our hearts, or that we can come together and we can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We can ask how you're doing. And Lord, we can help each other in the highs and the lows. So I thank you for this body of believers, Lord. I thank you for this family. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us. Continue to walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.